Whenever I travel to new places and meet new people, I inevitably come home with a few CDs. They're given to me by musicians, as well as family and friends of musicians. And every once in a while, there's something worth sharing. Several months ago, I was handed Tom Alexander's CD, What's Ahead? There's no fancy production, it's not on a big label, it's just a straight-ahead solo piano recording made in a South Florida studio. Tom sells the CD through his own website, alexanderproductions.com. Tom Alexander is sitting at our piano in Studio 4A today. It's so nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you. It's great to be here.
It's nice to have you here, particularly sitting at our Steinway.
This is a beautiful instrument you
it
have
is.
Here. It really is.
I really think it would be sad not to take advantage of it and not listen to you play first off. So you're going to play one of the tunes from your new CD. This is called Looking Forward to Looking Back. Do you want to say something about it first?
This is a song that I always have sort of an idea about when you're in sort of a situation that you want to look back on someday and laugh about. But when you're in the middle of it, it just seems like just smothering, you know? But this is sort of the idea of looking forward to looking back one day and laughing.
Tom Alexander at the piano. Tom Alexander at the piano playing Looking Forward to Looking Back. It's a tune he composed, and it's on his CD, What's Ahead, which is available only on his website, which is alexanderproductions.com. Your parents introduced you to classical music, right?
Yeah,
and you took lessons.
Yeah, my dad was a great lover of classical music. He used to go see the Philadelphia Orchestra. He went to University of Pennsylvania, and he would go to the Academy of Music in Philadelphia to see the Philadelphia Orchestra. Developed a tremendous appreciation for classical music, and really passed it on to me. When I was very, very young, bought me the children's collection of, you know, Tchaikovsky and Mozart and Bach and everybody, all the masters. I loved it immediately, you know, and I would kind of set up my little pillows and I'd get a pencil and I'd pretend I was conducting. I don't tell that to too many people, but I guess I just did. And typical of a kid growing up and going to school, you know, rock and roll and blues and things like that. And I kind of got into that. And
did you feel restricted by formal lessons? Were you somewhat?
It's funny. I did, actually, because I kind of rebelled against it. I had, I guess what you'd call an ear for music, a natural ear for music, that when I would take lessons, I think for a while I was fooling my teacher because I would just she would play, it was a dear, just a sweet woman teaching me these piano lessons, and she would play the song through once and I would memorize it, you know, and I'd go home and I'd play it from memory. And I didn't really discipline myself how to read the notes. And then one day, I guess I kind of flubbed up in one spot and she said, oh, take it from here. And I froze because I kind of didn't know where I was. And then, you know, it was all up.
The cover was jig was up.
The jig was up and the cover was blown and that was the end of that. So but I practiced a lot. What I really found interesting were the exercises because they just sounded kind of interesting to me. And they reminded me of Bach or something and they were kind of mathematical. And I took to those.
But you heard, you played by ear.
Yeah,
you heard things and you could pick them up.
I could pick up the tunes. I could pick them out, you know, on the radio. And I had an uncle who, my dad's youngest brother, was a really great jazz piano player. And he taught me, you know, showed me a few things, the boogie-woogie bass lines, you know. That kind of a thing, you know, and he would show me these different chords, and I didn't really know what he was doing, but I'd watch him, you know, I'd watch his hands and his positions, and I would just practice those.
There's a tune on the new CD that you call Chicklets, and you dedicate it to Chick Corea.
Yeah.
Chick Corea was a powerful influence in
Huge.
Your life. What was the first thing of his that you heard that made you go, you know, wow, that's what piano playing's all about?
Yeah. There was a record that he did in 1971. He released two of them. It was called Piano Improvisations, Volume 1 and 2. Volume 1 is the album that really just sort of sealed it for me. I had heard all kinds of different kinds of, you know, all types of piano playing, but this style was completely new for me and so lyrical. Just everything just came to, it just made sense to me instantly. Incredibly beautiful. And someone once expressed the album as sort of the idea of someone turning a tape recorder on inside a man's mind. That's the greatest description I've ever heard of the record, because that's exactly what it is. It's just a freedom of expression that he had on those records that changed it all for me. I said, that's it. That's what I want to do.
You have said that wanting to sound like Chick Corea is like wanting to play baseball like Willie Mays.
Yeah.
We can all want to do that.
Yeah.
But you are someone who was learning by ear and finding it difficult to read music.
Yeah.
Were you frustrated when you wanted to play like Chick Corea and couldn't understand really what it was he was doing?
Right. Yeah, very frustrating. I mean, you know, it was sort of a decision that I just had to make at one point. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be something that, you know, I could only go on my ear for so long, but there was a technique that needed to be addressed, which I didn't have. I'm kind of coming out of the blues, you know, like, you know, I mean, blues school kind of a thing. And it was just, that wasn't going to cut it, you know, technically. And I said, well, I'm just going to have to really woodshed here. Discipline myself to do this. And so what I did was I practiced about 5 hours a day, 6 days a week, of just lines that I would kind of come up with and practice them over and over and build up my finger strength, and really did nothing but that, picking apart chords. It was a very exciting, frustrating adventure, but worth it.
Yeah. You've scored documentaries. You've done movie music. Mm. There is something very visual about your music. I mean, aside from being unabashedly pretty, I think is how it's described. Do you see pictures when you compose?
Yeah, a lot. You
yeah?
know, I had the good fortune to grow up in a movie theater. My parents had a movie theater. My grandfather started Nickelodeons, I mean, way back in Pennsylvania. Yeah, I mean, he was a candy maker by trade, and saw this advertisement for a movie projector in the back of this magazine. This is like 1907 or 8, something like that. Bought some little 20-minute movies and a hand crank projector, and he showed his movies in the back of this candy store that he worked at. And the word got out. It soon, you know, necessitated. I mean, he needed to have a bigger building. It went from there, and he wound up building several motion picture theaters. The sound came in, and then It was really interesting. Anyway, the long and short of it is he had built one theater for his sons as sort of a legacy and for his sons to work. And my dad, of course, and his brothers. And, it was a beautiful old Art Deco theater, the last of its kind. I grew up in that building. It was magical in every sense of the word. I loved it. I miss it terribly to this day. It's been closed for 13 years. But first movie was, although I was not around, was Thoroughbreds Don't Cry with Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. And that was 1938. Our final attraction was Fatal Attraction.
No kidding.
Yeah. That was our last movie. The kitty matinee was Cinderella. So it was neat. And growing up in that building and seeing the movies and hearing the music of, all the great film score, composers, and of course musicals, just the visual aspects of movies, motion pictures. I can't even put into words how much it influenced my life.
You have actually composed an homage, I think, to this movie theater in your childhood and your young adulthood and obviously to your parents and grandparents. It's called Flickering Images on a Summer Night. What else could it be but something about movies? So you're going to play that for us. Tom Alexander in Studio 4A. Flickering Images on a Summer Night, composed by Tom Alexander and played by Tom Alexander on our piano in Studio 4A. Such Americana. It's so Copland-esque. I mean, it's almost as if we were hearing the score to some epic movie there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's a lovely piece. So you're working on a new recording now. It's called Flying Against the Time Zones?
Yeah. This record, the What's Ahead album, was very much a spontaneous creation, and was done in a quick amount of time. This next record, I think, is going to be a little more orchestrated, so it's going to require some work. But it's a job I'm looking forward to very much.
Tom Alexander's first CD, called What's Ahead, is found on his website, Alexander Productions. That's one word, alexanderproductions.com. Tom, it's been a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great. I had just a great time.
You're going to take us out with a little bit of improvisation, score for this moment on the radio.
Sure. Why don't you, do you have a suggestion, maybe just a picture of some kind that I can just play a soundtrack to?
Okay. I would say a lot of people right now could very well be in their cars, either coming from service, going to service, perhaps going out to see brunch. So I think we should have a little drive-in music, but Sunday morning driving music.
Okay.